Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Laundry Hour. I love you all. You want to know why? Because you're still here. I'm appreciative of any time I see that there are people listening. I truly hope that this is a blessing to you, like it has been for me. Being able to intentionally look at a topic and study something like has just grown my knowledge of God's word and just my faith. And so even if it's not affecting your life, it has been affecting mine. But I truly hope that God continues to use this in such an amazing way. So I want to get into our last study on specifically loving the church, but loving your local church. And I want to hit with the background of Acts 2:42 again, just a reminder of how all these believers gather together after they experience the Holy Spirit and after they experience the true power of the gospel. And they said, oh, this is life. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and fellowship and breaking of bread. And they had all things in common. And people were selling things and making sure everybody had what they needed. And they were going to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And so I can just imagine in my head this 3,000 group people walking to the temple together, just constantly talking about Jesus, going home, eating, continuing to do that, telling other people, sharing with the people. And it was probably, and truly, it was revolutionary, because if you look at a few chapters after Acts 2, other people were not happy and they tried to stop it. And people got scattered and dispersed, but it didn't stop the message of the gospel. But I do think that there's something interesting. Though the message of the gospel didn't stop, the fellowship and the unity did stop, because people weren't together as much anymore. Now, stop in the sense of it didn't happen at all? No, but it didn't look like this revolutionary force that it did when 3,000 people were walking together, loving Jesus and loving each other so deeply. It became this hidden thing that could still happen and would still happen, but again, looked different. But the point of the story, because I digress, is that that is the background for where we're going today. And looking, last week we talked about all of the one another's. Love one another, pray for one another, speak truth to one another, accept one another, be kind to one another, forgive one another. All of those one another's are also the background for where we're going to go today. Because those two things are where we start when we come to loving our local church. We've got to remember that the power of the Holy Spirit, one, enables us to love people. The gospel says that we should love people, because guess what? We are unlovable and God loved us. Everything stems from love one another as I have loved you. If ever we think that we are too good to love people in our local church, we need to be reminded that Christ died for us when we were sinners. That Christ died for us when we were sinners, that God sent Jesus to die for us when we were his enemies. Yeah, that's the kind of love we're supposed to love our local church with. We need to remember that the Holy Spirit is the foundation, the gospel is the foundation, and that is where the fellowship can come from. That is where the prayer comes from. That is where the loving one another comes from a foundation of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. And whenever we think we can't do the one another's, it's probably because we've forgotten the gospel and we've forgotten the power of the Holy Spirit. I think about right now how Jesus says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I don't know much about trees and bearing fruit and flowers and all that stuff, but I do know is that the seed, like of an apple seed, should produce an apple tree that produces apple fruit, right? Or an apple plant, I'm not sure. I think apples grow on trees. So like an apple tree that produces an apple fruit. Like an apple seed is not going to produce a pear. It will not, that does not happen. And so if we are looking at our fruit and saying, oh, well, my fruit is not producing the one another's, then we need to go back to the seed. And the seed is always the word of God, thinking about the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. So if God's word, the gospel, the Holy Spirit empowering all of that is not your seed, then of course you're not going to have the fruit. It sounds simple enough, right? So rather than going back trying to manufacture the fruit, which I do often, and so I'm feeling very convicted as these words come out of my mouth. Rather than trying to manufacture the fruit, we need to go back to the seed. We need to go back to the foundation. Because whatever I am, that is what I will produce. Out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's inside of me is what's going to defile me. Or, on the flip side, whatever is inside of me is what's going to sanctify me or purify me or beautify me. So, as human beings that struggle all day, every day with obeying God's commands of loving Him and loving one another, the reason why is because we've forgotten the foundation of the truth of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Those two things enable us, empower us, make it even possible for us to accomplish the one another's. And two other things that I'm going to share today. So the first thing is giving. In Romans 12:13, it says, contribute to the needs of the saints and always seek to show hospitality. There are other verses in the New Testament that also talk about giving to the saints. I specifically like that verse because it makes me think about Acts 2:42. There were lots of believers now that were in Jerusalem who didn't have a home, didn't have food, didn't have stuff because they were only planning to stay for Pentecost and go home back home. But now their lives are like radically changed and they want to stay in this place and they don't have stuff. And so what did the believers who lived there did? They gave away, they sold their things so that everyone could have what they needed. As believers, when we notice that the members of our body, the members of our local church, have a physical need, financial need, whatever it is our job to contribute to that need. Now, understanding that sometimes some people's needs are self-inflicted and we don't want to perpetuate whatever people are going through and this, that, and the third. And of course, you can have that conversation because you love that person and you want to see them do better in their finances or whatever their need is. But at the end of the day, even if you do have that conversation, I hope that you're contributing to the need. That's our duty. That's our obligation. That's our right. That's our responsibility. I'm saying all these words, but like that's also like our way to love our family. Like if you see your family member in need and you don't take care of them, are you a good family member? That's what we do for each other. That's like one of the things. I don't know. My words aren't working right now. That's one of the things that we do for each other. So if we see somebody with a need, we meet it. And sometimes we can't. But sometimes we can. And sometimes, most times actually, we can. Like if we do well enough with our money or save, like I've heard people create a savings account for giving specifically. So they put aside money so that they are ready when people have need. Come on now, that sounds beautiful. Just like we put aside money for personal savings emergencies or college for our kids or retirement for ourselves. Why are we not saving to give to God's church? Like give to our body, give to our family. That probably says something about our priorities, right? Yeah. Or even realizing that sometimes giving isn't monetary. Like, okay, like I can't physically give you money for this need, but I can give you a room in my home. I can make you some dinner. I can come over and clean your house. I can watch your kids while you take a nap. Like all of those things are ways that we can give. We can contribute to the needs of the saints. Because everybody's got different types of needs. You know, sometimes they're emotional ones. Sometimes they are physical and financial. But sometimes people just want a friend, too. That's a need that we can contribute to sometimes. But giving. Just in general, the concept of giving. I know that there's a, like, tithing is a biblical thing. I recently heard a podcast that talked about how tithing is biblical, but it's not Christian. Tithing says 10% only, kind of. And if once I've done my 10%, I'm good. Whereas we have this full picture of, in the gospel, of Jesus giving his whole life over. Like if Jesus limited himself to just 10%, we would not have eternal life. Just saying. He gave everything. He is the example of a generous giver. You know? Very generous. And I think the New Testament teaches us more about being generous givers. About letting our hearts be pricked. Letting us take, you know, contribute to the needs of the saints. That's not a 10%. That is, if you see a need, meet it. That's what that says. God loves a cheerful giver. So maybe we also need to think about our hearts when it comes to giving. And whatever type of giving. Like, all of love is about dying to self, right? And so giving is another portion of that. Because we like our money. We like our time. We like ourselves, our space, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, if we want to love God and love others, it's not about us. We must die to ourselves. All the money is God's anyway. And we should be generous to give, especially when we see a need, but to give whenever we have an opportunity. I like Galatians 6:10. It says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." Sorry, I was yawning there. So, as we have opportunity, like as opportunities present themselves, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith, those who are believers, those in our local church. Every time we have an opportunity, let's seek after doing good to our family members, our church members, our body members. Okay, so giving was hard, but I hope you're ready for the next one because this one's hard too. So I think another way that we can love our local church that we don't see much today, I guess giving as well as this next one are things that I feel like are not fully seen. And I mean, we don't see Acts 2:42 necessarily every day, and we don't see one another's every day. We see them bits and pieces, but this should be who we are. You know, we should be devoted. We should be loving. We should be givers. Like, these should be attributes of who we are. People should know us by our fruit, right? You will know them by their fruit. These should be the fruit that come off the tree, the seed that's planted inside of us. And so I'm going to share this one, and it's going to rub you hard, but here it is: reconciling. And we've got two passages in Matthew that talk about reconciling. The first one in Matthew 5, verses 21 through 24, when we realize that we have sinned against someone. It says, if you are about to present a sacrifice on the altar to God and you realize that you have done something to someone, you need to leave that sacrifice, go to your brother, fix it, and then come back and present your sacrifice to God. Which says to me, if you have an issue with your brother and you present that sacrifice, I'm not going to accept it. I will only accept it once you fix the problem. So God cares very much about our relationships as a body, because if we are a broken body, we will not image him properly. And guess what, guys? We are a broken body and we are not imaging him properly, because we don't fix issues. We don't reconcile because we don't like to, and it's hard and it's weird, and we don't like to humble ourselves and admit that we're wrong and blah, blah, blah. There's so many reasons. But if you have sinned against a person, go apologize. Yeah, that's what Matthew 5 says. And then Matthew 18 has another command for us. If someone has sinned against you, go and talk to them. Interesting how both of them require us going to talk to the person, whether if it is my fault or your fault. Like, I am supposed to go talk to you. I'm not supposed to talk about you to other people. I'm not supposed to keep it in. I'm supposed to go to you, whether it's my fault or whether it's your fault, to reconcile. Now, Matthew 18 continues and says, if that person doesn't reconcile, you bring two more people. If they don't reconcile, you bring them before the church. If they don't reconcile, then in love and hopes that they reconcile, they must leave the church. Now, other terms of that would be called excommunicating. Other terms of that would be called church discipline. But as you look at that passage, as well as passages in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talks about church discipline again, his whole heart in that is that people are restored. Now, church discipline is going to look very, very different today, because we don't just have one church. So if people are kicked out of one church, they'll just go find another one, and so that doesn't really solve the problem. And so, like, my husband and I have been going back and forth about this for a while. Like, what would healthy church discipline look like today that truly causes a person to be reconciled back to God, reconciled back to their brother, and cause a true heart change where they're restored in the faith from whatever sin that they have committed? We still don't have an answer for that, other than changing the way that church functions today. But I don't know if you guys have thoughts about that. If the Holy Spirit has shared something with you, I would love to hear it. But yeah, like, handling disagreements and division and anger and offense. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm a pregnant mom of two toddlers. Anyways, figuring out how we handle offense well is important for any relationship. I'm assuming all of you listening are married. If you are, you know that handling offense well is important for your relationship. Like, if you don't handle that well, like, you don't grow in your relationship. Like, it stays broken. Like, if there's something that you haven't discussed, if one of you is still angry with another, if you're hurt by the other and you haven't discussed it, if you haven't walked through that, you don't move forward in your relationship. You, like, stay at a standstill. Or go backwards. Right? So as we know in marriage, we gotta talk about stuff. If we truly believe that we are one body, just like you are one with your husband, if you are one body, then you gotta talk about stuff. We gotta talk about stuff. And it's hard and it's awkward and you fail sometimes. You say things wrong, and but you learn as you do it, right? Like, my husband and I will have been married 4 years, August 1st, and we communicate much better today than we did 4 years ago because we've been communicating. He's learning me, I'm learning him, and we are better at talking. Are we perfect? No, but we are better. And that helps our relationship. So, it's hard to talk to people in the church about stuff. Get it. But as you continue to talk, it'll get better. Your relationship will grow. You'll get closer. Right? Right. If we truly want to experience those deep relationships, if we truly want to be the church that is unified, that loves one another, so our witness to the world truly says God sent Jesus to save you, if we want to be a picture of the church in Acts, we want to be fruit bearers of the one another's, we want people who are givers, who are reconcilers, then we need to go back to the truth of the gospel. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit. Die ourselves. And start talking to people. Start talking about some stuff. Start handling things. Obviously in truth. Obviously in wisdom. Obviously in love. I think about... I have two examples. I've given the example of sororities and fraternities before, like they go through this hard initiation period, but because they've gone through that together, they're close-knit, closer. I've also used the example of like all four of our parents, like my husband's mom, like we have had really hard conversations with her in the past 4 years, but because of that, I think we are the closest with her because we have walked through some stuff. And we know how to talk better. And we know where we stand better. Because we know each other better. Because we've walked through things. We've experienced stuff that were hard. But we are stronger because of it, you know. And thinking again about an athlete who has to break its muscles to grow stronger. Like, it's going to require hard work when different human beings come together and try to become one. It's gonna be hard. Like, and we thought marriage was hard. Okay, that's just two people. Okay. Let's say a local church is 10. Now let's say it's 50. Now let's say it's 3,000. Now let's say it's 10,000. Okay, multiply the hardness. But if we all are relying on the Spirit, remembering the truth of the gospel, and dying to ourselves, it can happen. It is possible. But it's only possible when we remember those three things. And we lean into and on those three things. And again, it becomes even more possible when everybody is doing that. And I know I'm speaking very idyllic right now. But at the end of the day, this is what we've been commanded to do. And no, we can't think about everybody else, but we can think about us. So if I do it and you do it and we do it together, we've already done something amazing. We've already revolutionized something. Now imagine we do that in front of another person and another person, and it just multiplies. You know, I know it, Jesus didn't say it, but be the change you want to see in the world. Still true. It's true. Sometimes I get very disheartened, but I'm reminded about moments like this, that if I remember the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth of the gospel, and dying to myself, I can be who God has called me to be. I can love Him, and I can love others. I can love His church. Can I pray over you? Father, we thank you so much, as always, for your word, for your truth, for the power of your Spirit, for giving us a perfect example of dying to yourself, loving us, giving it all. Keep our eyes on you. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Stop looking at other stuff, other people, but fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, that we may be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we may be in awe of the gospel of truth, that we may love dying to ourselves, that we may give our whole lives to you in service and love. And love every person that you put around us. Our husbands, our children, our church body, and everyone else in between. We want to bear good fruit. We want our lives to signify to the world that we are your disciples. And if they are not, it's because we've forgotten our foundation. So bring us back to the truth of the gospel. Back to the truth that you, Jesus, save, that you have died for us, and you have given us life. Thank you for the truth that we are empowered by the Spirit that raised you from the dead. So we have all possibility reigning inside of our bodies. And you've given us the power, and you've given us the truth, so that we can lay our lives down to make you known. That is our call in everything we do. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got a habit, please write a review. I truly would love to hear what you have to say. I looked at reviews right before I recorded this, and I don't have any recent ones, so I'm a little sad about that. But I hope that you would give to me a review. That would be very kind to your sister who is in quote need. But then also, if you want more, tune in next week, because we are going to start a new series, and it'll be our last series for a second, because the month of September I will be out of commission because I'm gonna have a baby. So I'm excited. But we will talk in the month of August about our last topic of love. We're going to recap a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about loving in general. And I'm excited. I hope you're excited. We truly have been doing this for a whole year. It's like we've been birthing love all year together in September. The baby will be birthed, right? So I truly hope that our lives would be characterized by love. But until next week, and actually the funny thing is now that I think about it, next week is still July, because I'm losing my mind. Guess we're talking about church next week. Either way, you know where we're going. And until next week, or until I lose my brain, I'll leave with you 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you. I'm losing it, y'all.